Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. The Bonner Breakdown is here for conversation, connection, and to find things to celebrate. Get your glass, cup, or mug ready as we celebrate with a cheers to the good report. In today's episode, we have Andy Grote, a city council member, father, and UPS driver. We discuss local impacts of national politics, stepping into leadership with city council, and navigating the future of Sandpoint and North Idaho. You can find out more about this podcast at bonnerbreakdown.com. You can also support this show and get personal video updates and thoughts from our host at patreon.com/bonnerbreakdown. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
All right, well, welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. I'm here with Andy Grote. Andy, it's so good to have you on again, man.
Nice to have the space with you, my friend.
Yeah, it's good. It's been a busy season for a lot of people, mm-hmm. and you've been mm-hmm. out and about and doing a lot of stuff mm-hmm. here, getting away on a little vacation. A
little bit, just stacking up the silver linings.
That's right. That's a good way to put it. I like that. Well, we start off every episode mm-hmm. with a good report. So what do you got?
So my good report is a gift to you, Mr. Chris. So this is Sandpoint at the north end of the Long Bridge by cinematographer Eric Darstad, which is okay. a local guy here in town who is just an absolute treasure for us here, as That's well so as great. Written by Sandy Compton.
Oh, okay.
Who is an excellent storyteller.
Yes, so phenomenal.
This is a gift to you.
Oh, thank you. Love it.
And the reason for this is it is a local treasure, and I did mm-hmm. not realize how profound and historic and necessary for our time right now it is. The troubles, awesome. The tragedies, and the successes, and the overcoming, and the camaraderie, and the patience, and perseverance is the fabric of this community.
That's so great.
That is Sandpoint and Bonner County.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to watching that. I saw that on your whether it's your Instagram or Facebook or something.
My social.
Yep. And so I had that in the back of my mind to take a grab at that. Yep. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. Awesome. And you know, I love the fact that you know we can deal with current events if we, you know, I think in a healthy manner when we have a good perspective historically too.
It's necessary, you know? Especially so, right now.
Yep. Okay, cool. Thank you. Well, my good report is that we've had this, you know, increase of COVID-19 cases mm-hmm. we've had, which is not the good report. But the good report is that there's so few hospitalized. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only 5 people in the hospital mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of room in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. They're not being overrun to mm-hmm. me. Like that's all a good report.
Absolutely.
You know, because spikes in cases could have meant overrun of the hospital, could have been, you know, like could have been really, really bad, but it hasn't been. Mm-hmm. So I'm super grateful for that. And I think it's a good report to go, okay, yes, the news is bad that the cases have gone up, but the hospitalizations, and that's for the 5 northern counties is
right.
5
right.
people hospitalized, right. which I'm like, that's so good to hear.
Well done, communities. Well done, Bonner Gin. Well done.
Yep, Kootenai Health and
everybody mm-hmm. that is involved.
Yep, so, yep. And Panhandle Health has been great with updates and data mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. stuff, which has been awesome. So, hey, man, cheers.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to the good report. There we go. Mm. It always tastes better together.
It does.
You know, yes. gotta do it together. So, Andy, you were on, what was it, four or five months ago?
Yeah, so. Yeah, at least. Mm-hmm. Yep, right after we got sworn in.
Yep, and you were just getting your feet wet in mm-hmm. In city council.
Yep.
It went from wet to tornado mm-hmm. / hurricane, you know, so mm-hmm. it's been a little crazy, a little intense, and I know that you are a watcher of the show, and so you've seen the guests that we have yes. on, a lot of that stuff, and you and I have had some different conversations, so where do you want to start today? What do you want to talk about?
Thank you very much for doing a great job with this platform and creating a shared space for many different types of conversations to happen.
Yeah,
so that one, they can be modeled mm-hmm. as well as some of this content can come out. So our citizens in Sandpoint and Bonner County and wherever whoever's watching this can understand who we are better as people, so they can maybe affirm their choices a little bit upon election, or also be challenged that and maybe run. They get involved. Maybe, you know, they see a normal, hardworking guy in there and they also can say, hey, I want to get more involved.
Yeah.
There's an election in year and a half at the city level. And there's commissioner seats. There's all kinds of different stuff all going on. So do what you got to do. If you feel a kind of way, get yourself involved.
Good.
So, and to your point to the hurricane or the storm or whatever it is that we're involved in, I've thought about that quite a bit. And I'm grateful that in the time that I chose to get more involved, that there is actually stuff going on. And I do embrace change. I do embrace the constant flow. How unfortunate it would be for someone to get involved in a four-year term and everything be smooth sailing up until the last 6 months this isn't what I signed up for. You know, I have inherited some holdover from previous council, but I fully knew what I was getting myself into. Am I prepared for it? I'm becoming more prepared for it. But I was not intimidated nor scared or fearful of the workload or the challenges of communication. And this provides me an opportunity to, I've thought a lot of thoughts, I felt a lot of feelings, and now I get to articulate that in a more moving forward way, which is great. Cause it's all theory up until the point that it's applied and we get to apply all these things now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I definitely have sensed that, when you ran very much like, I don't know. And I don't have all the answers and I don't even know how I'm going to sit on certain issues. And so now you're saying you've gotten your feet wet. You're starting to really kind of format a lot more about that. And the adversity has actually caused you to have to kind of step into some things probably faster than if there was no adversity.
So a couple things with that. One, I think that on the walk up that I don't know was perceived as maybe a weakness to some.
Sure. I guess. Yeah.
However, I've never felt more secure and comfortable with being in the middle and having the ability or the desire to hear and see both sides of whatever an issue might be. So there's whatever that issue is. There's one side, there's another side, and that's information gathering. And so upon the walk up to candidacy and election, trying to avoid some of those gotcha moments of what are you going to do? That middle of the road space, until you really know and understand how we got here, that middle of the road spot could be perceived as a weakness. However, when you're in a council of six, that's a strength because you get, so as long as you get yourself into those opportunities to hear and talk and see, then when it comes time to make a decision, it will be a more whole decision, not one that is kind of pointed one way or the other.
Yeah.
And it would be, so the, some of the things that we're dealing with right now that are heavy moving objects. I think that I'm more skilled and tooled to think and feel through that kind of stuff.
Okay.
However, I really would like to get back to city business and learning what running a city business is and how we pay for certain things like streets, like good clean water, like what we're going to do with our dirty water. How are we going to pay for things, which I think as a city, the city should be ran as a business. And so I think that in my opinion, being new, because I am a true freshman. I am a true freshman in this. I'm 6 months in. I think that I've done, I'm doing a better job of listening. However, I have ran my mouth a couple times, and I don't necessarily think that that's good or bad, but reminding myself, hey, bud, you are here to listen. You are here to use your brain and mm-hmm. your heart, mm-hmm. and move forward in a gentle, responsible, respectful way.
It has seemed to me that when you have spoken up, when you have, as you phrase it, ran your mouth or whatever, however you want to phrase that, it seems like it's appreciated. That's what I've at least gathered, is that I don't see anybody going, darn Andy right. Grote for speaking right. up about something. You know, it seems like, oh, hey, thanks for saying something, you know? So it's yeah. kind of a catch 22 a little bit.
A little bit. It's interesting. So in my work life, I do get to be the one that chirps more. So I'm also a shop steward. So I'm a union representative at UPS. Okay. And so I am the one that stands up to someone or something and says, hey, you don't get to do that. Or how about you explain yourself to me in quite a bit more of a stern
sure.
way. And there's a part of me that likes that. There's a part of me that, 'cause,
yeah.
And so it's been
a
challenge. Yeah. It's a challenge for me to make sure that I'm more gentle and delicate mm-hmm. and nuanced in this, in a city representative role, as opposed to the counterbalance to labor, to big business.
So part of, do you feel like that's an authority structure, like role type of thing, where you have some authority to speak on something
at work? Absolutely.
And then here in the city council perspective, you don't have an authority. You have some authority, but you have to play a different role altogether and carry the authority differently.
Well, I'm 1/6 of the voting power.
Correct.
I'm a freshman.
Yeah.
I'm only 6 months into this mm-hmm. and we're just now starting to get into some of the budget stuff. So from what authority can I really speak? So with that being said,
great.
with the things that are going on currently right now, specifically talking about our kids with signs and our men with guns, I too took some of the bait on Facebook, which I have chosen to detach myself from Facebook and not get the. It would be wise for all of us to kind of stand down a little bit on Facebook and maybe go out and talk to people and see firsthand and have a nuanced perspective and educate ourselves mm-hmm. in the issues at the ground level, as opposed to the echo chambers and the, I'd say, almost compelled speech of what is happening on Facebook.
Okay.
So with that being said,
can we pull that apart a little yeah, bit, because yep. it was somewhat clear, but a little vague. And I'm just thinking, like, for the average viewer going, I'm not sure I know exactly what you're talking about with the, especially when you get into the compelled speech concept and some of that. Can you kind of give us some more context for that?
So my challenge had been, so to overcome a challenge of not knowing enough, or a group of people that I knew would speak this way, then I need to counterbalance that. So to do that, I am trying to do my best to speak to different people in multiple parties. So I've gotten mm-hmm. myself more involved. So the night that we had mm-hmm. guys with guns downtown, I went during the evening and checked in, see what's going on. I brought some water and some apples. Everybody was super happy and receptive to receive it. However, once I told them I was a city council member, a little bit of a tone changed. So okay. that tells me some stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
So I get to lean into that a little uh-huh. bit. Perfect. And so then that next Saturday we had the protest and the march, and fortunately, I was able to invite myself into Chief Kuhn's life a little bit, and I got to go and meet our officers and the people that were responsible for keeping keeping the peace, and I got to see some of the command and control that Chief Kuhn offers to our community, which is amazing. He's absolutely amazing. And so I get to ride down with him in a patrol car in the front, not the back, which was helpful. Got to walk around and listen to him kind of talk and explain and this and that. And so get to see a little bit more behind the scenes, as well as talk to people that are, that are adamant about what Black Lives Matter wants to do nationally, which in full agreement with the murderous things that have happened have got to stop. Absolutely.
Yep.
Nationally, as well as we don't want it to happen here. With talking to some of them and then talking to our police officers, I've noticed that it's flipped. Like, we have great police. We have a great, Corey has done a fantastic job, and his ability to communicate with, with I'll say everybody just because it's easier with it rather, because I'm getting really tired of the sides stuff. Corey has done a great job with talking to as many people that are willing to talk to him as possible, which I believe is the key to some of the answers. Now, nationally, we're having it. We are at a precipice, and it's both. We'll just say it's sad because there's really no getting around. It's just sad, and it's sad for some of our 70-year-olds, 60- and 70-year-olds that have fought these fights before, and here we are
again. Yep.
And how disappointing and challenging that is. So my heart goes out to them who are like, I cannot believe that we're
back here
again.
Yeah.
As well as I get kind of frustrated with those who say that, hey, you know what? You're doing it wrong to me in my age group. You're not doing enough. You're not doing it wrong. But I also agree, and I very much appreciate it, of those who will pull me aside and say, let me teach you some things. This is what could happen, and this is what you could do. So there's acceptance, there's a willful engagement, and there's a passing of the baton of responsibility and leadership, which I think is absent specifically in Sandpoint. Nationally, I don't know. So this is my challenge.
So crazy. Yeah.
So this is one of the thoughts that I have.
That's a great
spiraling around is that I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But I've had bad days at work.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been things that haven't gone well at work, and there's not a whole lot I can do about that.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So then I come home and I yell at the kids. I yell at the spouse. I am not nice to the dog. I go to the place of comfort and peace that within there has all the people that I love the most, and I treat them horribly because of things that they had nothing to do with.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So within that equation, I'm finding that folks who choose to only see and receive information nationally, that they're missing those silver linings. They're missing the beauty that is Sandpoint or Bonner County. Mm-hmm. And they're taking the bad things that they perceive or acknowledge that are happening nationally and taking it out on the community and the people and the place that they love the most. So that being said, our police force, is fantastic.
Yep.
We have a great relationship with its citizens. And I recognize and appreciate and empathize with those who are organizing and are absolutely pissed off about what's going on nationally. But I don't think it's necessarily fair to
yeah,
yell at our police for things that have happened in places that aren't Sandpoint. I think that it would have been done differently. It would have been better to have led and said, hey, I know you guys are doing a great job.
Yep.
I'd love it if we can partner with you guys and continue to do an even greater job.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I don't believe that, I think that the baton skipped a generation.
Okay.
So if we talk about the baton passing, the forgotten generation, Gen X, is not in the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like if we look nationally, we've got boomers and millennials and this Gen X group, is looking around going, I got something to say, like, hey, you know, and that's shouted down by the millennials. It's shouted down by the boomers. So I think that there's something tricky in all that to, allow for, 'cause I believe most Gen Xers are very centrist. And in general, I don't know. Yeah, I think on average, thoughtful thinking. I know most, everybody's picking sides at the moment, but I think a lot of people want to have data proof, think things through. At least that's what I see with the Gen X. That we're in a very unique place as far as baton passing and what role do we play.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally, and then also here, locally, I think the county's skewed a little older. Cities, I got majority of Gen Xers leaving the city. So it's very different, different dynamics there locally.
And it feels different.
It feels very different. Yep. Yep. And so that generational gap is very interesting. I hadn't really, thought about that, but just kind of piecing that together. And that would be my observation is that we skipped a beat nationally. Mm-hmm. The other thing you were talking about is the, how do we create a culture and an environment where we begin to actually partner on issues instead of attack, each other on issues.
Okay.
Because you mentioned, like, instead of saying, yelling at the police, saying, hey, let's come alongside. I don't see the millennials and the zoomers, the Gen Y and Gen Z being equipped to come alongside. And that's an observation. Because I see majority of them are super passionate and super, they really want to see systemic change. They really want to see things move, but they're not equipped for compromise and negotiation.
Correct.
They're equipped for blunt force movement. That's what it seems like we're equipping this next generation for.
Okay.
So there's a thought, I'll put that observation out there. What do you think?
So I am a dad of three daughters.
Yep.
And it's been the best thing ever. That's really one of the only things that in my life I was that dead certain that this is what I want to do and this is what I want to be great at.
Yeah, come on.
So then how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't. So what I chose to do was to look inside myself first and do those internal battles with myself, fight inside myself and see what wins and what loses within me.
Yeah.
And then bring that to my family, my kids specifically.
Yes.
I have been divorced. I married the same woman twice. It did not work. It didn't work, but we are still a family. So those internal battles are deep and impactful to my kids, which then has hopefully equipped me to know myself better to then therefore go out into my community and maybe be effective change.
Okay.
So that's the equation that I use for myself that I've found to be effective. What I observe, not necessarily with the generation that you're specifically speaking about, but those who want to affect their community and then oppress their family and have not yet ever done the battles within themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. So I personally know what black eyes and bloody noses feel like. I don't want them. I do my best to avoid fights because I have fought those fights myself.
Yep.
It is irresponsible for those, again, these are all my opinions, it is irresponsible for those to lead a community into battle or fights without, one, going to battle with themselves first, or without even knowing how getting in a fight hurts.
Yeah.
And that's where I think there's a little bit of leadership baton passing that got missed, as well as a respect for the battle and the hard fought fights.
Yes, totally. That's good.
And it does seem to be a bit of an awakening about maybe the American spirit that we have. There has been some difficulties. There are people that have it's hard, and it's always been hard, and it's generationally hard, and it's been taught and learned to be hard, as well as it really hasn't been that bad. Like it's been pretty. I've almost always had a job, almost always had a place to live, and almost always had food. Okay. There has been times of absence of those, and it makes me appreciate having them even more. So I'm a little hesitant to get into fights or lawsuits or things that'll challenge not having those things, as well as I am willing to fight for those, to have those things.
Okay.
That's a worthwhile fight.
Okay.
Because it does give peace and comfort. And some of it is, you know, those food, shelter, warmth. Like those are the human basic needs.
Well, and I think we've got a collective education of a generation. And then we've got the individualized development of a person.
Yep.
And so I think we're dealing with two separate pieces. Because I know like the way that we raised our kids was to be able to negotiate, to be able to have the capacity to hear and understand. Mm-hmm. And I just am blown away by the quality of my kids. Because I know some people check all the boxes and they do all the right things and the kids are not good, like not healthy. And so, just feel blessed in that regard.
As well as give a lot of credit to other people in those kids' life, as well as our own, like I just described, the family situation was dynamic, to say the least. You know, just being gentle with that, and for my kids to turn out as amazing, despite my best effort to hit as many potholes as we possibly could, they are all doing fantastic. Which then it doesn't necessarily give me permission, but it certainly gives me. It permits me to go out and do more things within my community. And they're looking at me going, yeah, go dad. Yeah, go for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And man, I tell you what, the fact that they're watching me do this, and I know that they love it, and I know that they respect me, and they know how much I love this community that we raised each other in. But there's also a little part of them sitting there looking at it. It's like, okay, so you've been preaching all this stuff. I want to see how you apply this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, try being a pastor. I mean, like, the accountability at home is real. You know, like, who are you? Like, do you really believe all that thing that you say?
Or is it just over here?
Is it a separate world? Did the two collide? You know, and when they don't, there's such opportunity for offense, and there's opportunity for disappointment and all of that stuff. So you have to manage all of that because we're not human. I mean, we're all human and not perfect, but no, that's really good. Are you feeling like there's a shift? You mentioned the word awakening. Do you feel like there's a shift locally, politically happening, or nationally, or what do you sense happening?
With the again, I'm new at this, and I'll specifically speak to the lens of council and realigning city efforts to be businesslike, be more businesslike.
Okay.
We have great staff at city.
Okay.
The from top down, they are fantastic people. And those individuals who recruited and brought them on should be thanked. They are absolute professionals. They are worth every dime and every dollar. It would be great if we as a city allowed them to do what they were hired to do, as opposed to manage lawsuits. And I think that that's where the political shift is. And I could be wrong. Okay. I could be wrong. But I think that city should be business.
Mm-hmm.
Be in the business of flushing toilets, drinking water, paving streets. Focus on those things. And if those things are happening, then city is doing well. I don't think that... I think then Sandpoint as an idea or an ideal, then that can be looked at from a different non-business lens. Like believing in something greater than yourself, I find as being good.
Mm-hmm.
City of Sandpoint is a business. Let it run as a business. Right. If we want to believe in Sandpoint or Bonner County as an ideal or the bright, shiny light on top of a hill, then believe in that and be an example. You as an individual, be that example, not be made an example out of. Two different things.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think that is a creative way to answer the politicized way that you had phrased that.
Sure.
I'm not comfortable with any labels. I'm specifically not comfortable with being labeled a politician, because I'm not. I am an ambassador to Sandpoint, and I'm a city council member, and I'm all these other things.
Correct.
I am not a politician.
Yeah.
And I'm not. And
you're in politics in that you got elected.
In a nonpartisan representative space that didn't have an RD or an I behind associated with any of it.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing I think about the, city government, in that it does not pigeonhole you, per se, which is nice. So that's good.
I have some people that are mad at me. And I have some people that are confused by me.
Okay, so why would people be mad at you?
Well, I think that when I answer a thing in a way that they don't like, in having 6 months experience in this, and then saying no, I'm not going to go down that path, that makes them upset. And then the others that are confused by me were like, "You're showing up here? We appreciate you being in here, specifically volunteering to be in a dunk tank as a city council representative at, for 4th of July. July and being watching the parade. So I get firsthand accurate accounting of what I see and who's down there and what's going on. Cause I talked to the organizers specifically and went, this is where I'm at with this. Please. I'm asking you. Mm-hmm. Do everything that you understand where we're at, what we're doing, what
the
we want.
Is high.
And you yourself have said that you want to be unifiers of our community. Okay. We didn't have an opportunity to necessarily parse out like what community we're talking about, but by showing up at the parade, by volunteering as a city representative in the dunk tank, which the water was cold and the kids were very happy. And it worked. And then showing up for the fireworks display and looking at how many people were at City Beach, how it was managed, to see our police force out there being please and thank yous. It was everybody was on their best behavior at all three of those things. And the evening couldn't have been more smooth. The people were so polite. I heard please and thank yous, excuse me. And some of it has had to do with there was quite a few less people. Like the volume of the event was considerably less for a variety of different reasons.
Yeah. Well, I think primarily pandemic.
And maybe that's the silver lining of one of the many silver linings of our COVID situation is that we are a kindler, gentler, more patient.
Mm.
Giving people space,
mm-hmm.
holding space,
mm-hmm.
please and thank you, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say that one of the things that I think is really important in this season is for people who stand up for individual liberties, give people their individual liberty. If you believe that don't tell me what to do with wearing a mask, then don't tell anyone else what to do with wearing a mask or what they're comfortable with.
Dust just, your sandals off.
Just respect it and move on. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, yeah. So that's a side note.
And I don't know why. And so those are some of the questions that I ask myself because I've never been so certain about all things, and I've almost always had to negotiate. You know, I'm a middle child bookended between two sisters. So I've always had to negotiate my way to either not get hit or to be able to get the piece of cake,
sure.
or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it has served me.
That's great.
It has served me well. So as long as I view that as a strength.
Yeah.
And also understand that there are some inherent weaknesses in being in the middle.
Yeah.
Because the middle gets squished.
Yep. 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 You're touching me. No, I'm not. what about, one of the things that we've seen here is, and I think you touched on it earlier, national politics overflowing into local politics.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Espiro was on and he talked about that a little bit. Maybe we don't need as much national here locally. I think that people on the right are looking at national issues with a tremendous level of fear of, concerning what nefarious items or actions or activities may or may not be happening locally. Mm-hmm. And then on the left, I see a lot of fear surrounding what is not happening, mm-hmm. about what could happen. And, mm-hmm. and so I see both sides really operating from a standpoint of fear. And of course, you know, the fear, you know, there's justification for fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's always justifiable. So whether it's your news media, whether it's the news media that you take in, whether it's the headlines that create that, or even like reading whole articles and at the end going, mm-hmm. wait, that's not what the thing said.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got this huge media issue, but the reality of the national narrative impacting us locally seems to me to have a really negative effect on how we operate together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get a little bit more from you on that, like, because you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but what do you see happening with that? What do you think are some solutions? What's your take on national versus local?
Step away and detach from it a little bit. Create some space in between. Understand that there's some nuance, as well as I don't know any senators. I don't know any congressmen. I don't know any of the people that are in D.C. I do know people that are on my school board. I do know people that are on my hospital board. I do know all the commissioners. I do know all the council. I do know the mayor.
Yeah.
And so if I'm seeking some clarification, they are a phone call and a handshake or a fist bump away from creating a better relationship and de-escalating some of this tension, as opposed to being the character that someone is representing themselves on Facebook is not them in the grocery aisle or in the parking lot or at the coffee shop. And so to answer your question, I haven't found it to be helpful to mirror what's happening nationally and interjecting it locally and taking on this persona, because if in fact that's just a show for either trolls, because people I don't need to spend however many hours a day responding to the negative vitriol through Facebook.
Yep.
Some people
thrive on it,
which I hopefully will never understand. I don't want to be robbed of that mental and spiritual peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually makes me sad. It makes me sad for those who spend that much time on there because, again, you're missing the silver linings. You're deciding to live within this dark cloud because you like the thunder as opposed to looking outside of it and appreciating the silver lining or the rainbows, not to get all woo-woo-y and rainbows and unicorns stuff. But I think that that long-term has a negative effect. I agree. Like, what happens when you manifest that stuff and you end up having something like, what if you blow a gasket inside?
Yeah. And I see people that, that would in one post say we need more love and unity. And in the next most post call somebody every name in the book. Right. And I'm like, whoa, like that's that. Do you not see the incompatibility of your own claims
and the level? So the challenge is, like, I can understand dichotomies. I can understand that. What I don't, and I have patience for that because I learn in that space. What I don't have patience for and don't learn a lot from are the hypocrisies. There's depths of hypocrisies that I have that I have to cross the street. I can't, it's not worth it because I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm not here to, I can be convinced. My mind can be changed, but I'm open to having my mind changed given better and new information.
That's right. Yeah.
Those who are shouting from the rooftops, in my experience, are not willing to change or be open-minded. And so that, that's a path for somebody else to take, not for me. Yeah. And so, and the things, some of the things that have kind of hurt my feelings the most are the people that were in leadership in some level or another in Sandpoint or Bonner County. And in without even having a cup of coffee will automatically go and say, you're doing it wrong. What are you doing? And it becomes all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that, so for me with, because I, you know, I got a little bit of a chip on my shoulder that has never, that has never worked out very well for me. And it's, it's not some, I mean, I spoke to bloody noses and black eyes. Like that's where this goes.
Yeah.
And I think that, Facebook and social is where that happens. Yep. And it's unacceptable.
If I could give anybody advice about social media, it would be stop reading people's minds. Because this is where, so somebody takes an action. Let's just take, someone does a proclamation at city council. Okay. Just to bring it home. And immediately people have read the mind of the mayor, said, here's his intention. Here's his motive. Here's his goals. Here's his, like, they have all like said, these are all the things that he must be thinking in order to do such a thing. Well, that is horrible thinking. Mm-hmm. That is an absolute lack of critical thinking. And critical thinking says, actually, there's probably a multiplicity of motives, intentions, potential things. And am I curious to know the truth? Or am I curious, not to know the truth, but do I want to live in the place of assumption? Do I want to live in the place that the only thought that's possible is what buttresses my bias?
Yeah. And the answer to that is yes. There are those
it's rampant. And you know, people, you know, on the right get frustrated with me because I have a good relationship across the board with everybody. Like I'm pretty clear on my politics. I know where I sit. But I'm able to have conversations with anybody, you know, whether it's the Black Lives Matter or a Robert Rosendary or, you know, our friend Ryan, Lesh, you know, like these are people from all different backgrounds, all different mindsets and viewpoints. And I'm like, actually, you know, we can have these conversations. So this capacity to get people boxed in based on what I believe they think is some of the worst thinking out there. And if people could just step back from that, just that one, did that one thing, just say, instead of judging their motive, let's look at what they've actually said and what they're actually doing. And I might not like what they're doing, but maybe I should ask why.
Correct.
And I might not like it. but you're going to actually find out the truth.
And now you know. And you'll know what not to like rather than
correct
a subjective, yes. Like, this is what I think. So that's one of the many powerful messages out of that film that Eric was able to really mine out, was that over the 100 years of that film that he's documenting, the different people, beliefs, hard work, the different actual kinds of work, the cooperation and the collaboration for Sandpoint and Bonner County to overcome the things that were happening in the nation as well as Sandpoint.
Yeah.
Because it did talk about, and it's very interesting because they're talking about pandemic, because it talks about Spanish flu. Mm-hmm. It talks about World War I, World War II. Mm-hmm. It talks about the Great Depression. It talks about people that are leaving the Dust Bowl and came over to the abundance of Sandpoint. It talks about the Navy base in Sandpoint Bayview and Farragut,
yep,
that brought people from all over the nation to an inland base that then Sandpoint embraced and brought on their own national sons to take care of them. And they came from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And watch how that has changed. And all to not ignore and forget the first people that were up here.
Yep.
And how they were shoved out.
Yeah.
That they were a minority group that lived in abundance, that used the land as they felt suited. And yet they were pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody should be bent out of shape, it should be them.
Mm-hmm.
But then look at, okay, so what then is that group that feels that they are shoved out? And so I have an appreciation for how painful that is, because they've made a certain thing. They're precious, and their precious is being taken away. Okay. Well, it wasn't yours to begin with, and this is kind of one of the challenges that I have, is that I found Sandpoint. There are a lot of other people that found Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I found Sandpoint and fell in love, and fell in love with Sandpoint. Wherever it is that I came from, and whatever it is that I had, whether it's baggage-wise, or whether, you know, a school district did me wrong, or a hospital district did me wrong, or a commissioner group did me wrong, like, I let all of that go and embrace this thing, this new thing that is Sandpoint, as opposed to putting that heavy baggage onto this new place. Because obviously you fell in love with it. You came across one way or the other.
Yep.
It was the mountain or the lake. You didn't do anything to build the mountain or the lake, but you fell in love with...
Tractor beamed.
You fell in love with it.
Yep.
But yet you haven't given yourself permission to let the past transgressions go and re-embrace the new.
So that's a really, that speaks, I think, nationally too.
Okay. Okay.
Like, how does anyone move forward? Right? Like, how do we move forward on a national and local level? Obviously, dealing with past transgressions.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Dealing with past transgressions. How do we move forward? In my conversation with Todd and Sam Crossett, I said, I think there's only a few options here. You know, there's an unpayable amount of justice. Like, if the goal is justice and fairness and proper equity, that's an unpayable debt. How do you pay life for life? How do you pay years, how do you pay for all of that? So that becomes a unobtainable endeavor,
right?
It's not obtainable. And I even when I talk, like, across every discipline that I've looked at in regards to this, and even with, you know, my Black friends and different people just on the race issue alone, it's an unpayable debt. There's not enough that can be done to make up for it. So then the other option is, there's two other options. We do nothing, or there has to be some mercy forgiveness, some capacity to be able to absolve the past and begin to move forward. And that's a personal choice for each individual to take, and for a community to maybe step into that. Well, I don't know how happens, right. But you know, I think that there's some things there. But you know, you're talking about this. How do we deal with the past transgressions of here locally too? Mm-hmm. You know, we got this on all sides.
And I don't know. I don't know. And I think that it is okay to say that we don't know. I don't know. It is okay right now to be confused. Mm-hmm. It is okay to not have the answers.
Yep.
What it's not okay to do is to dismiss. Correct. Dismiss these different things that are
absolutely
going on.
Yeah, that's good.
I, in the multiple areas of my life, do not have the luxury of denying the things that are going on around me.
Right.
I want to accept them, and I want to be involved with it, and I want to be active as a part of making good decisions.
Sure.
Knowing that I have my own limitations. Like, I have 20 years in Spokane, and I have 20 years in Sandpoint. I do not have a diverse cultured path. I grew up in Sandpoint is a lot like how I grew up in Spokane Valley. It was just a bunch of kids running around in fields and riding bikes and playing baseball and doing this and that.
Yeah.
So it is unacceptable for me to say that, you know what, this is the new starting line. This is like, I don't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Like my heart breaks for everybody that is hurting, and I don't have the answers. The only thing that I can do is be that example that I want to see.
Correct. Yeah.
That's and continue to move forward with that. And this is so in council, the hardest thing that I have in front of me as being new at this is I don't like telling people what to do. And that level of government is that legislative spot.
Yes.
And so that's what, when it comes time, we collectively are tasked with telling people what to do. And man, I can tell my kids what to do. I can tell, well, not so much now. And I can tell myself what to do.
Yeah.
But other grown adults,
it's tough.
So I can't tell somebody to get over it, and I can't tell somebody to be nicer.
Wow. Yeah.
But I can be the example of me getting over it, whatever that it is.
Yeah.
As well as being the example of, okay, this is how it is now.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm not going to find these little proxy vendettas that happen. Like if fight your fight.
Yep.
And do it in a way that you're seeking peace, not more fights.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so there's a difference between peace keepers and peacemakers. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that you think would be, you know, relevant or good process or otherwise concerning making some peace?
So getting City of Sandpoint back on the path of running and operating like a business, not preaching from up high, because that none of us are qualified to be able to do that.
Correct.
None of us should do that.
Yeah.
Detaching and stepping away from our keyboards and getting away from the infighting and there are some that are just trying to light dumpsters.
Better believe it.
They're just doing it because, you know, and then go out and instead of siloing yourself into an echo chamber of like-minded, go out and stretch yourself within different food, culture, read authors that you wouldn't normally read, listen to music you wouldn't normally read, go to a church that you wouldn't normally go to a yoga class, go to strength and do some things that will stretch you.
Oh, that's good.
In all ways, in the spiritual, the mental, the physical,
right?
All of that stuff.
Yeah. No, that's really good. That's really good. I believe that there is a space for peace to be made here. I think the community is ripe for it. I think our community is ready to move forward. From what I see, I think that there has to be acknowledgement from leadership where they've gone wrong and where, you know, we've misstepped, where we did not consider fully an issue, or do our research or whatever it is, you know, like, you know, like sometimes you'll make a decision and then afterwards you're like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? Now I've got more data. Oh man, like people who can acknowledge that and take ownership will be the ones that bring the peace to me.
And wouldn't that turn down the volume?
Wouldn't it?
Of whatever other chatter is going on. And so to kind of,
and I'm not saying that people need to flatulate themselves or berate themselves or belittle their previous decisions either. You know, I'm not saying like even apology, you don't, I don't even think apologies are necessary. I think acknowledgement is all that's needed for people to go, oh, okay, they see me.
To be seen and heard.
Yep.
Yep. So then I do think that it nationally and culturally, socially, I personally don't feel capable to be able to create a new starting line for a great many things. However, locally, within our space, and especially with the seat that I'm in, is like, knock it off. This is the new starting line. None of this stuff. All of this, God, other,
this is so good. I love it.
A lot of this other garbage got us here. And what did we learn?
We
learned a lot.
Yeah.
And what we learned is, if you, we learned a lot, and I'll leave it at that.
No, you can. I mean,
new starting line.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to do moving forward, which is get more engaged, involved, and educated, which is, you know, that was my campaign slogan.
That's right. Yep.
And look for solutions, not dumpsters to catch on fire.
Okay.
Okay. And you know, if people have a problem with that within their elected officials, there's means and methods.
Yeah.
Like, get involved, run for an election,
do
some different things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I mean by these proxy little vendettas, is that citizen groups should organize as citizen groups for causes that they deem fightable.
Correct. Okay? Yeah.
It is inappropriate, in maybe my freshman year of not knowing enough, to task a city or a municipality to go and fight your fight.
Seriously.
So then, for example, and I might be...
that's so good.
I might be...
That's really good.
It might be an apples to apples or apples to oranges comparison, but there are those who... The city of Newport did not sue PacWest. A citizen group got into a lawsuit with PacWest. The city of Newport should run and operate as a city. Okay. With some of these other things, I think that as a councilman, it is my responsibility to have 1/6 the decision making capability to not get the city into lawsuits.
Yeah.
That's what we have a legal advice for, you know, and obviously I've inherited some, and I'm going to, because there's been a lot of trust, respect, and credibility that I've seen within my 6 months that I trust that due diligence was done, which then allows me to inherit this thing and not armchair quarterback it. Well, if I was there, you know, because you are not afforded that luxury to armchair quarterback after it. This is on your plate.
Yeah.
You have to deal with it. Follow it through the end. This is the direction that we're going.
Yep. Okay. Everyone wants power. Let's just like every in the political sphere. Okay. So when you have groups like you're talking about that, that want to, enforce their agenda through the city, right? Using, you know, like, because there's power there, right? There's a perception and there's a legal, power that a city carries, that a nonprofit or little organized group. So if an organized group of people can begin to influence and move power to enact their agenda on a larger scale, that to me is a misuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're just talking about.
But we are the people, the power of the people. It's not the power of the city. Like, do you really want the full force, the full leverage? Some do, because they think that maybe leverage a component. I find that to be inappropriate.
Okay, but this now I think we're stepping into a little more ethereal conversation, mm-hmm. because now we're talking about how the people's view of political power, right? Because I think some people believe that the government should be limited, that its power should only serve its constituents to provide basic infrastructure, mm-hmm. to provide some protection and security, to provide stability for economic mm-hmm. purposes. Like, outside of that, get out of the way, right?
Right.
And then over here, it's like, actually, you should mold and shape culture. You should mold and shape how everything happens through the government, which we've got two competing forces here.
Right. And so when I brought up hypocrisies earlier, it's also the hypocrisies within myself. Mm. Like this has provided me an opportunity to dig in deeper and mm-hmm. and see how things operate and work. Because like I have to scale things down for me to be able to understand them.
Okay.
So the national appears to be too big, mm-hmm. and it's difficult to move. For good reason.
Yeah.
So within my community, I might be able to maneuver a little bit better. Within my family, I can maneuver a lot. And within myself, I'm fluid all the time. So when I'm raising my kids, when I was raising my kids, I was the authority. Although I believed in and still believe in something greater than myself that gives me the insight to that then it's not just me that's doing this.
Yeah.
And so then those lessons, I do my best to be an example and teach and then empower to watch them go out and find their own fruits.
Okay.
And then they become effective creative members in their own community and society. Mm-hmm. And then it duplicates itself.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other way around.
Right.
Not the other way around where my community, so we move into a place and they tell me what to do and tell me how I raise my kids and tell me where I work. I don't think that would work for me individually.
Sure.
Nor do I think that works well for the North Idaho spirit, because the other thing, and it might be bigger than that. It might be the national spirit, because
it could be.
the first thing a North Idahoan is going to do when you tell them that they can't barbecue is to go out and barbecue.
You better believe it. It was like the first day of the stay-at-home order was the busiest day of the year. Not just because people were stocking up on supplies. Because, like, okay, like, we're entering into a lockdown with emergency services. Grocery stores are open. Everything's open, you know. But, you know, it was like the middle finger to the man, you know.
Yeah.
And we're still seeing it, you know, Absolutely. Every day. Which is, like, here nor there to me. Like, if people feel like that's their thing, great. No problem. But that is that North Idaho spirit. It's not just independent. It's rebellious in the sense that, and I hate using that term.
Yeah.
But it is the sense of not just it's the view that the authority that you carry is ill-gotten to the government, right?
Right. Like, so the big government. That. So yeah, let's hang out there for a minute I knew the people that were running for the school. Like I'm going to restate this. Like I know these people. I've been in the check stand with them. You know, and especially with being a UPS guy,
you've dropped off their packages.
I know these people. Yeah. I know that these are good people, so mm-hmm. I can trust their authority.
Mm-hmm.
And nationally, there's probably a massive disconnect. And
yep.
However, locally, I think that's one of the reasons why I got elected, as well as, you know, I had people vouching for me. I had people vouching for my character and integrity and hardworking, even though people didn't know me. They at least trusted the source of information that they got.
Yes, and you've always been very clear, and I think this is one of those things people could probably learn from in local politics from you, would be that you're very transparent about what you know and what you don't know. You don't play BS games, right? You're not trying to prove anything to anybody.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, if you want to get into local politics, take that as your cue. Like, take that as a, I would call that role modeling.
Cause I don't know a lot. Like I simply don't. This is this is new.
But
this
This
is white belt stuff. This is beginner's mind. This is this is trying to get more involved in something that I believe in.
Yeah.
And if a community wants professionals to be in those spaces, whether it's professional business individuals or lawyers or however that executive level professional to be in that city council, then they're going to have to understand that there's going to be a certain expertise that's going to be there that they might not necessarily appreciate, as opposed to, I'm just a dude. I'm just a dude that wanted to get more involved, and there is a space in local politics for a blue-collar man or woman or teen to get more involved, to learn about their community. That's it. Not to take this any further into other arenas, because that then I think is defining politicians. And I don't want my community, nor do I want my constituents to be stepping stones for anybody for their next thing.
Mm.
We can be the bright shiny light example,
okay,
but we will not be made an example out of.
What does the bright shining light example of Sandpoint look like to you? How do you describe that? Like, when it's manifested?
So, and again, that film does a great job of rolling that out and showing the different things that happen specifically to this community, as well as some of the things that were going on nationally. I remember coming up to Sandpoint, so I've been up here for 20 years, that when something tragic happened to a family member, everyone showed up to the spaghetti feed.
Or left, everybody, right, everybody.
They just came to support a family that needed help. Period. No more questions asked. Now, I don't think that that's the case. I think that it's like, so who? What are they? I'm not going to support them.
How long have they lived here?
Yeah. So how'd they get hurt? Like those kind of things. Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah.
So the
Right.
The example.
That's so sad.
Let go of. So sad. I guess you could probably speak more to this than I, because I can drop social, but some of the business. There's a lot of business to be had in and on the social media platforms.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not ready to say that it's a necessary evil, but I definitely think that it's like two different examples. It's kids given keys to the factory and they're just pushing buttons and seeing what's going on, to the printing press was explosive in people's literacy and their ability to communicate with one another. However, once you have capability of the printed word and literacy, you can write whatever you want. We're kind of, I think, that in that juvenile space, but that we've been given a superpower and we don't quite know what to do with it yet.
Yeah. You know, the most uneducated portion of society is youth, period. Like, no matter how much college you've taken, you're still, there's life lessons, like, and I want to get life lessons from the next generation, the one in front of me, because they've been through some things that I haven't experienced. Yep. I might conceptually think I got it, but I'm actually operating in quite a high level of ignorance to not value the experience of the people who came before me. I can judge it. I might think that they're stupid or ignorant or just not getting it. That's the sense that I get in conversations that I have with younger people, is that they're the experts and we're stupid. Now with that, now I'll just say that there's, I've had several of those conversations where I'm like, wow, there's no value for the, for experience. There's no value for that. For some, one of the things that I think is just critical around being able to be a bright, shining light is this intergenerational connectedness, like the valuing of experience, not just becoming, not just becoming activists or keyboard warriors, but literally valuing and honoring the people's perspectives that came before us, even the ones we don't agree with.
And ask the question, like, Chris, how, what is it like to be Chris? Like, how is your life? Like, what is a day in Chris's life? Like, what's going on? And to really have that honest inquiry to do your best to know someone, heart and mind, that that distance between heart and mind.
But that's good. Yeah.
But to be able to do that, to be able to value that, you got to, I know this is the truth. You got to do those fights inside first. You have to fight with yourself first. Step away from the keyboard. You're not a keyboard lawyer. You're not an internet activist. Go know the people that you're in the community with. And if you're new to the community, we will do our best to be patient with you. Do your best to be patient with us. The things that happen to you, wherever it is that you came from, I get it, sort of, if I ask.
Sure.
And there's a good chance it's not going to happen to you up here, especially if you know people. So I would love to give a shout out to Bonner General Hospital. They have done a fantastic job. And they've taken some barbs over the past couple years by, you know, letters to the editor are not nice. Okay. Our school district, let's remind everybody how quickly they pivoted to get our kids educated and they changed their curriculum. They did everything they possibly could, as well as in this upcoming school year. Obviously they haven't have that figured out yet, but they cut money, they cut funding, they tightened the belt, like all the things that they were criticized, they're doing, and they did on a moment's notice. So
phenomenal leadership.
A lot of credit to these institutions or government or so there's the dichotomy. Maybe consider the source of where those barbs are coming from.
Yes.
And maybe question what that individual's agenda is to try to undercut things that, hey man, that's my neighbor that has worked in that place for X amount of time, and they are good people doing good things within their good organization.
What I think we've lost is the ability to step into other people's shoes, you know, empathetically, you know, to be able to be like, oh, if I was, if I had to make this decision, what would I do? That's lost. You know, if I was in their position and had to make that decision, I think about that often when I consider, you know, some of the governmental decisions and different things that happen. You're like, okay, if I was the one who had to make that decision, and I, number one, I usually don't know enough to make the decision. So I just say, okay, I don't know enough. Like I couldn't have made, like, I don't know. And I think that's kind of how you entered, you know, the realm of politics. But oftentimes I can go, oh, I can totally understand why they made that decision, looking at all the situation that they're in. And, you know, hopefully it's not driven out of other people's interests, but they're doing it for the sake of what's best for the community. Do you see that? Do you see that being an issue, like private interest driving political decisions within the city and county?
I think that
we've kind of danced around that a little bit.
But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that sophomore year stuff that, you know, I'll have my ear twisted a little bit more.
I guess the question would be, are you, do you feel like people aren't trying to influence you for their soapbox issue?
They try, but they don't try very hard.
Oh, okay.
Because some of it is, you know, I don't know enough how to maneuver the way that they want me to maneuver, which is probably helpful, you know.
Okay.
as well as I think I know on a handful of times where I've told people, like, stop. This isn't going anywhere. This is your passion project. This is something that you want to do. There's other avenues for you to take other than for you to make me your proxy pawn in this vendetta of some past transgression that you are still slighted for. Ooh. Those conversations have been had because, like, dude, like I said, I do not want to be made. I will be an example, but I will not be made an example out of, and that's not a call to anybody.
Like, camera's right there.
Like, if you want to continue to have normal people in these places to make normal,
reasonable
decisions,
yeah,
then don't do what you're doing.
Mm.
Fight your own fights.
Wow. That's good. For those listening, he just gave the camera a stare down. One of the things that I think is really critical in this next season is transparency, because I think transparency will ultimately lift the veil. It's like going behind the Wizard of Oz curtain, okay, looking behind the veil, going, okay, what's actually happening back here? And I think transparency in government should be one of the highest priorities of nationally, locally, things like that. How transparent do you feel city government is here in Sandpoint?
We've got our own YouTube station now. We've got our own YouTube channel, and city administrator and Chief Kuhn sat down and did a town hall that it was great for a variety of different reasons. It was great, one, because I don't get to spend enough time with them, have an hour and change of them having conversation with one another, mm-hmm, and dialogue was great. I know that Chief Kuhn took some heat for some of the language that he had used, but let's not get hung up on semantics. Let's not get hung up on words that you are mind reading of what the intent of that word is.
Yeah.
And read a little bit deeper into what's going on, not to seek understanding.
Yes.
Okay. So transparency, I think that, again, this might be one of those silver linings of COVID. I'm new to government. And when everything got shut down, I could 100% see, like, oh, this is when some shady stuff could go down, because there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm speaking nationally, not locally. I could see because it's hard for people to show up. It's hard for people to communicate.
Yeah.
It was like we had the lights turned out on us. So then what happens in the dark?
Yeah.
Okay. So then out of that, city listened to council saying, we don't like this platform that we're using to pipe in to have these remoted city council meetings. So they went to Zoom. Much better. And then once we got out of certain phases, we were able to meet back together, which, I will respect everyone's wishes as to how they want to operate, but this is supposed to be open government where there's accountability of the council to the citizenry. Butts in seats are important. We've got a better Zoom platform. We've got the YouTube channel that you can go back and watch current. You can watch archives.
I'm super grateful for that.
You can watch all the different commissions, not commissioners, but the commissions, historic preservation, all that kind of, and watch how this kind of stuff works, which actually is a great recruiting tool too, to be able to have citizens go, oh yeah, that is actually something that I could do that. I can. So it's more accessible, which I think is maybe another buttress term for transparency.
Sure.
If it's accessible,
that's great.
And if I choose to look at it and then follow up, then that therefore is transparent. And we get to meet together. And we get to hear, you know, we spend 4 or 5 hours listening to sides,
all types of stuff.
All types of stuff, everybody knows, those sides, whether there's 2, 5, they're equally represented by their people. Like, they get to get up and talk to us, mm-hmm. hopefully. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they talk at us, which is unfortunate.
And everybody asks, you know, at the beginning, like, try not to do this. And then first thing is like,
oh. And that's sad. Cause I like I know the people that are sitting up there and they're all great people.
Yeah.
And some of the accusations that get leveled against them, I know are false.
Yep.
And I also know that
some of it's just mind reading.
Yeah. Those who are at the podium that are, mm-hmm. that are speaking, mm-hmm. I understand how passionate they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do not lose respect. That is a sacred space because of your passions.
Yep.
Bring your passions.
Well, welcome to another impact of social media. You know, people are able to say whatever and usually with zero consequence. Whereas in the past, if you said it to somebody's face, you had to deal with that fallout. You had to deal with the actual emotional reaction instead of, mm-hmm. oh, they're mad, I'm trolling you, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to laugh it off and shut it off and walk away when you're face to face.
And council, I think, is the council chamber is an arena that everyone is equal. They should be equal. Mm-hmm. They should be treated equal in that space because it's, so we're sitting higher than anybody else. We are sitting above just by the way things are.
Yeah, it's like a 2-foot lift.
And that's difficult because I do not ever want to speak or look down on anybody. And if they feel that kind of a way, then if we could reverse it, then reverse it. But we are there to be talked at and to. And so if folks see us being stone-faced up there, that's the most appropriate way for it to be, because the last thing that should happen is for somebody that is already positioned up on high to speak down low to somebody that is impassioned and being respectable, mm-hmm. about the process. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's better for us to sit there and take it and just like, yep. But don't ever think that it's not that we are stone-faced and that we don't care. It's a discipline that needs to be inside all of us to sit there and actively listen and make sure that it's like, they said something, they said my name, don't respond. Normal face. I'd like to follow up with that individual later,
mm-hmm.
which then it kind of creates a culture of invite. Cause that's, you know, that's how I met Ryan. That's how I met Ron. That's how I met Steve. I don't necessarily agree with, there is some disagreement, but that the disagreement isn't greater than it. Hey, let's talk. Help me understand your world a little bit better. And they did this. Like, there are those that have said the same things, like, hey, Andy, you know what? You know, I didn't vote for you, or I did vote for you, but I really actually don't know where you're at on this. Can you sit down and have a cup of coffee?
Yeah. Great.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I think that covers your transparency question.
Yeah. I think that, the accessibility issue is huge. So that's good. It's good. I was really glad that I can get notified on my phone when it's up, when the video comes up on YouTube, and I can go, okay, great. I know what I'm going to be playing in the background here and listening to some of the haps and, you know, while I'm working on something else. Mm-hmm. So that's always good. I think we're kind of nearing kind of wrapping up our conversation a little bit. So when you look forward, right, when you look ahead, mm-hmm. next 6 months,
mm-hmm.
okay, 6 months in, what are some of the things that you're anticipating need to happen, or what are some things that you would like to see happen in the next, you know, 6 months of the city of Sandpoint and your role?
So for my role is the personal growth. And so I want to talk a little bit about, you know, my personal experience with COVID and how quickly and how disruptive it was mentally and emotionally for me. And this is maybe a little bit of insight into Andy's world and Andy's life, and to hopefully be a little bit more vulnerable and like let people know who I am and how I think and feel. So, you know, COVID is real, and I deal with the spectrum of how people think and feel about it at work with UPS and maintaining and making sure that health and safety and mental awareness is there. And with UPS, we and others were deemed essential already knowing that we were already essential. Like my mom told me I was essential. Like I didn't need anybody to tell me that I was essential. So we go through like as UPS, we're this essential and this, and there for a while, everybody was really supportive and really excited until they got scared. They got scared of their UPS guy. They got scared of what we were potentially bringing to them that they ordered. Like to the point was like individuals forgot that I am here for you and because of you. You invited me here to deliver these things. And I've never, like in my 45 years, I've never been made to feel like the other or dirty or unwanted. It was up until now. So this is a silver lining. I would have never experienced a feeling like that living in Sandpoint.
Or Spokane, yeah.
Yeah. That being barked at and given orders to get off of a porch or be told dismissively, put that there. Like all of that, like having people cross the street from me because they were afraid of, they were afraid of me. I get it, but I chose to really take on what COVID is going to teach me. And really, instead of getting mad, I'm like, okay, how does this really feel? Like I've never felt this way. So that was hard. And so it just gave me a very small glimpse of perspective of how some feel that way every single day of their life. And the only responsibility they have to that was that they were born. Consequently, the same day making deliveries while I'm pissed off and festering and like, you got to be kidding me. Like everybody loves the UPS guy. Everybody loves Andy driving around delivering apartment complexes and looking at all the different license plates from out of state, out of county. So I went from, oh my gosh, I feel like the other, like this is awful, to what are you doing here? You're not one of us. Get out. Like what is going on? So that, which clearly explains nationally and locally what's going on right here. And I'm just telling the truth right now that I oscillated between those two very significant emotions all in the same day and was utterly confused. And it is okay. It is okay to be confused. And personally, I chose to sit in that, to hopefully grow from it and be better from it. And so to answer your question, to look for more opportunities like that for me to continue to grow, because I'm in that seat at council for the next 3.5 years. And if I can continue to stay in that mindset and continue to challenge my perspective, then I believe that I'll have a greater base for sure to listen and a greater base for when I am called upon to make 1/6 of that decision, I will be able to make a more whole, complete decision when that time comes.
Yep.
So
that's good. You know, the growth always seems to come out of adversity. You know, we can self-teach, you know, we can assimilate knowledge, but actual growth is different than assimilating knowledge, right? Like, so I can learn a ton of things out of books and I can learn a ton of things in class, but I don't actually grow until I've got to like have that internal adversity or external adversity, something that creates tension in my life. And I say as a pastor for a long time that, you know, where the Bible says that we're going from glory to glory, I'm like, that space between glory and glory is tension. That's the place where you actually catapult to the next level. So, you know, it's interesting to hear somebody say, I'm actually looking forward to these moments of tension and these opportunities to grow. And I think that's a great mindset for most of us to carry around. So that's a great place to be. And, Thank you for that. It's inspiring to hear. So yeah, it's good.
Well, you two are an inspiration to me, buddy. You're doing good work. It is hard to hold this much space. You're doing so. Stay strong.
I will say just to be, you know, vulnerable. I had a couple interviews where I went home and I look at Mika and I'm like, what am I doing?
Mm.
Like, why am I even doing this? Mm-hmm. Like, is this, am I making any difference? Is this, you know, so now I'm not saying that to like, be like, oh, give me praise. But I'm just saying that because, you know, even in starting this, I had to overcome my fear of exposure and my fear of disappointing people. And I've been kicked out of some Facebook groups because I have the audacity to build relationships instead of just be right. How dare I? Oh, well. You know, like, you know, I have to block people who are aggressive and angry, spiteful people, like, just like, I just don't get it. So I just silence those voices because I refuse to give people the influence mm-hmm. in my life mm-hmm. if I don't want it. If I don't want your, like, I'm very cautious about that. So this has been a huge challenge for me. So I'm glad you're seeing it be effective in some regard. It's difficult because I'm not fitting in any of the boxes.
Good. Good.
I know where I fit. It's like knowing your tribe, you know, like you got tribe, you know, you got people that you resonate with. You got people that you know, totally like your friends and, mm-hmm. and peer groups and people that you're like, man, we see the world eye to eye. I've got that. I don't need to find it everywhere. I don't have to convert everybody to my tribe. I've got my tribe. I got people that I totally resonate with and feel comfortable with, you know, so I can enter into spaces of discomfort because I know where I'm accepted and loved and good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally. And so our Venn diagrams for ourselves personally are going to look more like we're blowing bubbles as opposed to just one bubble. So maybe create some new tribes. Maybe this middle tribe of I don't know. I look forward to more conversations with you.
Yeah. That's been fun. And I think that it would be really fun to have a group of conversations with 3 to 4 people sitting around having these conversations from a bunch of different perspectives locally to, you know, be able to process through, you know, some of the things that are going on. Be fun.
We have a local author and facilitator in town that is, so I'm going to give a shout out to Michael Welp. He is a fantastic man, individual and father, and he is, as well as you, are completely capable of holding that space and being a model for healing.
Mm.
There's a lot of byproducts of healing that I don't even have to label. Just that's, I deeply believe that that's the direction that we need to go through.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Hey, appreciate you. Thanks for coming on. Yep. With that, we'll be done for today and
fantastic.
We'll come back again some other time.
Okay. Thanks everybody.
Yep.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find out more about this podcast at BonnerBreakdown.com. You can also support this show and get personal video updates and thoughts from our host at Patreon.com/BonnerBreakdown. Thank you for joining us in the conversation.